Welcome, welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Good to have each one of you here today. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Cheryl's got a couple of two or three testimonies here.
I do.
One was from a lady, Crystal in Maryland. She said, thank you. Thank you so much for praying for me, for I got a job, and I will start to work Monday, August 27th. So that was praise the Lord.
Praise
and then
us.
She requested, she said, pray for me so I can share God's good news at this new job. And I thought, wow, what a wonderful thing that is.
Okay. Amen.
And then I had my own praise report this week. Last Friday, I grumbled and complained. Oh, Lord.
Never.
Yes, I see my daughter about once a month, and so she texts me and says, okay, I'm going to bring Alicia, the sax player from the band. She's from Australia, and I'm bringing her with me. And I said, oh, great, what are we going to talk about? You know, I'm going to get to talk about her and the weather, because I can't talk anything personal about us, you know, our businesses or anything like that. And I said, well, why don't you just go to lunch with her? I'm texting her this. And she's going, oh, Mom, please, you know, come on, Mom, come on, call. So finally I say, okay, well, I don't want to miss seeing her, so I say, okay, yeah, I'll go meet you. But I get off the phone and I fuss to my husband. I just can't believe that Chrissy's bringing this stranger that I don't know to have me, you know,
she forgot that thing about give thanks in all things.
I did. I forgot. Okay. All right. Yes, I forgot. Okay. So that was Friday. We had a great lunch. And so I have to explain to you, though, what happened. So when we meet at the restaurant, I'm motor mouthed. I'm just saying all this stuff about God and Jesus and that Christ Haven's been in contact with me. So I'm talking about that, and I'm talking about all the miracles and what God did and what he allowed and what he raised and the different kids and how they were so blessed and just all the stories. At one point, Alicia, the girl that's from Australia, cries over the stories that I was telling. Well, I'm just telling stories. And so then after that, I start telling all the miracles happening here and about what God's doing, and I just on and on and on and on. So we finish our lunch. Christy takes her over to where her husband Eric and some people are, because they had some people in town. And so she goes there and meets me over to the store. And so we go to a couple of stores, and then as we're walking to our car, she says to me, oh, Mom, I had an ulterior motive about why I brought Alicia with us today, who's staying at her house. And I said, oh, really, what's that? And she said, well, she doesn't believe in God, and she thinks the Bible was written by man. And I said, no, it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so there it was. There was the reason why God wanted me being a motor mouth all about God. Like, I go, oh, God, I'm so sorry. But I didn't repent quick enough, obviously. So Saturday night, I give the dog a bath, and I'm sitting in the, you know, with my feet in the bathtub, leaning over and everything. And when I get out and take the dog out, my hip gets dislocated, and I suffered till really Friday. Friday was, I finally got some relief, but he's been praying on me all week. Just because I grumbled and complained that Christy was bringing a friend who God really wanted there, I was interfering with his plan. And Lord, I'm so sorry again that I did that. Anyway, so that was that. All right, a couple things. We got an email from Paula Sue Martin. And Paula Sue had and most of y'all know Paula Sue was healed of not loving herself, and she got a tumor on the end of her pancreas, and when all of us prayed about a couple of weeks ago for that, and she just got notice that she is cancer-free. So that's a praise of the Lord. And before I go to the next part of it, there are a couple of things. I did have our keyboard player, Jeanette, called me yesterday crying, and her mother had a fourth stroke. She's down in San Antonio, and it causes a lot of problems. She also has some open wounds. And I said, well, you know, and she said the last 6 months she's been doing better about, she was mad at God, angry at God and some other people, but she's been doing better and was more at peace. And she really felt like she was getting ready to go on home. And I said, well, why don't you just release her? I mean, what a bummer. You're an invalid. You got open wounds, open sores, and you've never had another fourth stroke, and your head is messed up, and you got all this pain and agony. Just let her go home. You know, I release her. So she released her. She was crying through the whole thing. We talked, and so she released her. I prayed for her. I prayed protection around her. And Thurman's in the bed. He doesn't know what's going on. He's hearing me do all this. You know, he knows I'm obviously praying for someone, but he doesn't know what it's about. And of course, when I finish, then he prays in agreement with me. But anyway, so we prayed that her mother would, that God would have mercy and release her. I reminded her all her sins and that she'll get to go on home. So that's what we're believing for. And she said, well, I can run back up here. And I said, no, stay down there. Let her go. You stay there. Let her go. So anyway, so keep Jeanette in prayer. Our mother's name's Gloria Adder. And so, you know, we all praise God that Gloria's going to get to see the King soon. All right, then this is the part that this past week on Thursday, Paula Sue, who we were just talking about earlier, that is cancer-free, her husband, Rick, went to have a pain shot put in his back, and they discovered he had bone cancer. Okay, then since then, they put him in the hospital, and all of us have been praying that know about this, that she's with the certain prayer warriors. So she said, they've admitted Rick to the hospital. We were there last night. Man's report that were found cancer in his right lung that has spread to his left L5 area in his back and his femur bone. He, Rick, said, we're going to stand on faith and not take chemo. He listens to Pastor all the time on YouTube, has been for months. That is man's report. She said, I am cancer-free. The doctor called me during all this stuff with Rick yesterday. My prayer warriors, Sharon, Grace, Mike, Miss Jackie, you and Pastor, stood with me and believed like I was taught from his word. How wonderful, how glorious, how awesome to be part of the family that truly stands and believes the word of God. Now watch my God do another miracle for my husband. Love you all so much. Okay, amen. We agree with that. Okay, so right now, he's we of course, came against the lung cancer, which is the root, and in his right lung, and then it's gone to his back. And now, right today, they're doing a bone scan to see if it's anyplace else. Well, I'm believing there is going to show no cancer anywhere. Amen. So you want to pray?
Yeah, what I want us to do, all of us, men, women, boys, girls, I want us to use the principle we've been using. And the first part of that principle, so we review a little of this right quick. The first thing we do is, what do we do with sin? We remit people's sin. Now, do we really believe we can forgive sin?
Yes.
If Jesus said that to those that believe in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. So did Jesus forgive sin?
Yes.
He sure did. And the next thing after we remit Rick's sin, the next thing the Lord did, if you'll notice throughout the scripture, whenever he went through one of these things, whenever he remitted the sin, then what did he do to the demon? He cast it out. Did he tell us that we could cast out these evil spirits?
Yes,
he did. And then he said, and then you shall heal the sick.
Amen.
So all we have to do, that last part, is ask the Father in Jesus' name to send the Holy Spirit to heal Rick's body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And we have done all the things he said and required to get Rick healed. And we've seen the Lord heal just like we did. We did that very thing. The only difference was Bill was here. And since Bill was standing right here, and we all did that and come by and laid hands on him. And we all know that we did that on Sunday. And then on Tuesday, I believe it was, when Bill went in to have his check, and there was no cancer. It was gone. It was completely healed. So there's no difference here except Rick's still down in the hospital, so it doesn't make any difference where he's at. You know, we're going to take authority, and I want every one of us to use that, and I want us to voice that out loud, because the Lord clearly says that we have power with our tongue. We have power to cast out these spirits. So I want us, everyone, to do, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we remit Rick's sin. Now, and it says we've remitted his sin, his sin is forgiven. Now then, we command those evil spirits that goes with his sickness to go away and to never come back. Now, Lord, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit and completely healing Rick's body. From the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, he is healed. And then when the disciples come back, they said, Lord, we went out and we remitted the sins. We cast out these spirits, And the demons, even the demons are subject to us in your name.
Amen.
Well, he said every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Did he not?
Yes.
He definitely did. So we have been given the power. All we got to do now is believe, right?
Yes.
That's the only thing we got to do is believe. We've done everything. Now, I'm going to tell you the importance of how this works. Just like last week, Cheryl and I, we had a young teenage daughter in our office. And this girl was not sure about life. She doesn't know what's going on. So usually when you're 10 or 12 or 15 or 18 years old, you don't know what's going on. You, in the world, you may think you know what's going on, but you really don't know, do you?
No,
you really don't. So we brought this young girl into my office, and Cheryl and I talked to her about making sure that she's okay, and so that when she's petrified of dying. Well, let me tell you what. I got news for every one of you. You know, everybody's going to make it out except you. You ain't going to make it. Everybody's going to get out except you. That's not what it said, was it?
No.
It is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So if it is appointed to each one of us in this room to die, we know we're going to die, then why don't we prepare for it? And why don't you get ready? And you know, really, there's only really one thing you have to do, like we tried to tell this young girl. All you got to do is call on the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And you will be saved.
And delivered.
Yeah, and of course you will be delivered. So it sounds crazy to think that it can be that simple. But it is. God made it where even a little teenage girl or even a tiny little... I remember when my son was only 4 years old. We left a church over at Louisville. We were driving home, and I had a little Ford pickup, a little F-150, and of course back in those days, 40 years ago, you didn't have to have a seatbelt. It wasn't required for your children. Tim was standing in the seat right beside me. I mean, he had his arm around me, and just the way he liked to ride, he's standing up in the seat. You know, I mean, if you were to have to hit the brake, guess what he's going to do? You're going to hit the windshield. I mean, there's no two ways about it. But, you know, I feel secure. I don't think there's any problem. So I'd come out from the Lakeland Baptist Church there on a Wednesday night, right there where the McDonald's used to be. The IHOP is there now. And I made that corner right there, and the dead Tim sitting there with his arm around my shoulder, and he said, "Daddy, I believe if I died..." He said, "I wouldn't go to heaven." And I said, "Well, son, you know, you're probably right, but, you know, you're only four." You know, so I said, "I'm not sure you understand what you're talking about." So I said, "When we get home, we'll go in the bedroom and sit down and we'll talk about this." "Okay, Daddy, I got to get this thing settled tonight." I said, "Okay." In other words, only 4 years old. I mean, he stands up in the seat sitting right beside me. He's only this tall standing beside me, just about the same height as I am. And here we are driving down the road talking about salvation, and he's 4 years old. So we get home, and we walk in. I said, "Son, I'm really not 100% sure that you're old enough to really comprehend salvation. I'm not really sure. So I said, sit down here and let's talk about it." So we started talking about it, and I said, "Now, I want to read something to you in Romans. I want Cheryl to read these scriptures. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. And I want Cheryl to read these verses one by one here."
"Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved."
Okay, now is that the desire should be for every one of us?
Yes.
We should have a desire that not only Israel, but that our children and everybody should be saved.
Yes.
because this is a requirement for every human being on the earth. Read on a little more.
For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
Keep reading.
For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
Read on.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth.
Just think, now there's an awesome statement right there. So just remember that. Go ahead.
For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them.
Read on.
But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is, the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Okay, now, when we got to that verse, I asked him, I said, son, do you think you understand what that's saying? He says, yes, Dad, it's real simple. He said, I have to believe with my heart and confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord. And if I don't do that, I'm not going to be saved. Amen. He said, I want to be saved. I said, you really believe you understand that? He said, I know I do, Dad. He said, and I definitely don't want to go to hell to be with the devil.
No.
You know, that is the most important question that God asked us, and he made it so simple that a little four-year-old is questioning, I need to do this, or I can't get to heaven. If I were to die right now, he said, I would not go to heaven to be with the Lord. And he said, I do not want to spend eternity with the devil in hell. And I said, I don't want you to spend that there either. Read just a little bit further, honey.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Read on.
For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Now think about that. This is how simple God made this. That whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I mean, just like I told that little teenage girl the other day, only one thing you got to do is call on Jesus. It's that simple. Tim locked down on that as a four-year-old boy. If a little four-year-old boy can be standing in a seat beside you and say, Daddy, I believe if I died tonight, I wouldn't go to heaven because I have not believed, I have not called on the name of Jesus. Do you think he's old enough to know what he's talking about? Now, why in the world would a four-year-old child be thinking along lines like this anyway? Why? Why? Because the Lord spoke to me whenever Tim was 2 months old. Or actually, 2 years old. When Tim was 2 years old and Amanda was 2 months old, the Lord spoke to me audibly and told me that he had a message for me in Deuteronomy 6:4. And in that scripture, as I read that, that's the first time I ever heard God's audible voice. I mean, it will change your life forever. When you've never heard God's audible voice, one day when he speaks to you, it will change your life forever. But he had a special plan. Of course, he has a special plan for every one of us. But right there, he had a special plan for Tim and me, that it would be Tim's time to call on the name of the Lord to get saved. You know, it's amazing how God works and how he makes things happen. You know, he may let somebody else wait till they're 20 years old, 30 years old, 50 years old, before you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And some people never come to know Jesus. Isn't that amazing? The curse that he places on us, some people it lasts forever. When I read all these scriptures, especially in Romans, all of them, it makes me think that this whole game that we're fighting is not fair. And really it's not. But I'm not the boss. Are you the boss? When he says that he will call on whom he will call on, and he will save whom he will, and he will cast away whom he will, he is the boss, and you can't change that. I mean, if he's made a decision, so-and-so is going to be lost or so-and-so is going to be saved, you might as well just enjoy it, because that's the way it's going to be. I mean, he tells you that in Scripture. And when I used to read those kind of Scriptures, I think, God, this doesn't seem to be fair. It may not be, but just like Paul says, he can do what he wants to do, because who is he? He is God. That's exactly right. And he'll save whom he will, and he will cast away whom he will. And he put all that in the book. But it's amazing whenever you see these kind of things happen, and you see God begin to move in people's life and do something. And I think about it wasn't long after Tim got, well, maybe it was a couple of years after Tim got saved. He accepted that night. When we got through talking, I knelt down on the side of the bed with Tim, and I thought to myself, this boy at 4 knew more about the Word of God than I did when I was 20. Why? Why did he know so much? As a little child, and as God had spoken to me and told me to teach my son about the Word, that night I began to read God's Word to my son. Now, if this hadn't been an audibly spoken thing, I would never have done this. But now I realize it is spoken in Deuteronomy 6 for every human being, especially men. In fact, I want Cheryl to turn to Deuteronomy 6 and to start with verse 4. And I want her to read a few verses, just a few verses there. And I want you to see, this is a command for every man on this earth. And if you haven't done this, and I'm telling you, if God hadn't have spoken to me and told me this, I would never have done this. But now I realize the importance of doing it. And I have no idea how many men that I've taught these principles to that have done this, and them or their children have got saved at a very early age. Read that. Read that Deuteronomy 6:4 and a few verses beyond.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage.
Okay. Now stop and think of that command. I want I want every man in here to think today, after what you just heard Cheryl read in those few verses, how many of you men were just like I would have been if I hadn't had an audible voice of God walk into my office and speak to me and tell me these verses? I would not have done that. And I'm going to tell you that most of us as men have failed miserably. We have not done that. You think of your own spouse, maybe your husband or whatever. How many men, and still to this day, I deal with women. Cheryl and I, we pray for women, that their husbands will not even pray for their wife. The husband knows nothing about God's word. This is what this blows me away. As a Christian, we fail miserably at teaching the men what their responsibility is at home. You know, that's the reason we have so many divorces. Men don't even realize what they're doing. They don't realize their requirements from God and how that if you don't do what he says, it puts you under a curse. It puts you and your children under a curse. You know, whenever you, the average man, if you go out there and you talk to them about football, everybody talks about football. I mean, they know all the main players on the Dallas Cowboys team or whoever, whichever one you're talking about. They know who the guys are, know how much time they've used running, catching passes and all kinds of stuff. They know all kinds of stuff about football. But if you ask them something about Jesus or about one of the apostles, they have no idea who you're talking about. Have you noticed that?
Yes.
We got lots of knowledge of the world.
Yeah.
You know, I stand in awe when I think about this little guy. I heard him tell his story one time. He said, you know, when I was born, my daddy was a golfer. He loved golf. And he said, when I got to be this big, he said, my daddy would hand me a little golf club and he'd put a ball out there and a cup over there on the side. He'd say, son, walk up here, hit that ball and knock it in that cup. And he said, you're going to be the best golfer the world ever seen. Now, this daddy is teaching this little tiny child, a little boy, his pride and joy. He's teaching his son how to be a golfer. Every time he gets a golf club, son, put that ball right there, knock that ball right into that cup right there, and you're going to be the best golfer the world's ever seen. That kid grew up, that's all he ever heard. Now then, what happened? Everybody knows who I'm talking about, don't you? There was no everybody in here. I mean, you're like me, you're not even a golf pro, you know who I'm talking about. Tiger Woods. I mean, his physical life and his spiritual life didn't turn out too hot.
No.
And he's made lots of bad mistakes, but has he been a good golfer?
Yeah.
He's one of the best. And why? Now, if this will work in the physical world for a little boy and a daddy that they're not very spiritual, and he just, son, hit that ball, knock in that cup, you're going to be the best golfer the world ever seen. If we tell our children, son, every night, daughters, we're going to sit down, we're going to read the Word of God. We're going to discuss God's holy Word. And this is what it says. You're going to be one of the best men of God that's ever walked on this earth. If they grow up hearing you say, just like my mother, she told me how to do things. And she said, son, always remember, I can't even think of the scripture now. Philippians 4:13. I could for a second there I lost. She said, just remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. She said, remember that, son. That's a word from God. And God said, you can do all things. My mother taught me these things. Now, my daddy didn't fulfill that. He was busy working, making a living. but he did not fulfill that like he should have. He was a good daddy. He provided as good as he knew how. But my dad only had a third grade education. He did never go to school except for 3 years. So he was not able to provide for us like some people provide. But the one thing we did have in love, our home was love. That's the most important thing that you can have is love. You know that? And so I had a mother and dad that lived together. In fact, 50 or 60 years, whatever it was, that they lived together as man, husband and wife. As I've told y'all before, I never, ever, ever, not one time, ever heard my mother and dad raise their voice to each other or to me. Never. That's unusual. I thought the world all lived like that until I got out of school, or until I actually started going to school. But we had a good home, and everything was really great. And I just think about if we only knew the principles of what's in this book. But even if the Christian men, just the men that are men that know God, you know, if you're a man of God and you go to church, and what gets me is so many men that call themselves Christians don't even go to church. I mean, they'll stay at home on Sunday and watch a football game, but they won't go to church. And then they wonder why their children grow up with such problems, because they don't know nothing about the Word of God. You know, I can think of men that after I learned these principles, after I started walking with God and reading the Bible, like Dave said a while ago, when I really began to get a hold of what this book was, and what I could do with it, I started reading it 5 to 15 hours every week. 5 to 15 hours a week. For 10 years I studied this book. And as I studied this book, all of a sudden I began to get very knowledgeable. You can't study something that much and not get knowledge. I mean, even if you're a slow learner, you know, like that dad said something to me one time. We was talking about learning a little. I said, I guess I'm kind of slow at learning these things. But I said, at least I'm learning. He said, son, even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. So he said, don't give up. Keep going. That was pretty cool. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. He's got to find enough to live. But, yeah, isn't that amazing? Different people look at different things. But you know, as I think about Tim and how he began to grow in knowledge, because when the Lord told me to start teaching the Deuteronomy 6:4 to my children, I started doing it. Like I said, if he had not spoken that to me audibly, I would never have done that for my children. I would have missed that. And then I think about what my children would have missed. But, you know, I tell you, I did that for my two children, but I will have to say that my son has not done it for his children like I did it for him. You can lose it in one generation. You know that? It's really amazing. I mean, he's a good boy, and he does a lot of good things, and he's a fine young man, but he has not read the scripture to his children every night like I did to him and his sister. But I had a word from God. What are you going to do if you get a word from God? It's going to change your life forever. And that did change my life forever. And then, of course, it totally changed Tim's life also. And it's amazing how that it does work. Because one day, several years went by. I was out there in my little old shop one Sunday afternoon after church. I was out there doing something, messing around with. And I looked, and him and Tony, his friend, was out in front of the shop playing basketball. They were just bam, 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 running around all over the place and talking. Of course, I couldn't hear what they were saying. I was inside. And in a little while, all of a sudden, I saw them stop. And they talked a little while, and then they knelt down, put the ball on the ground, and knelt down over that ball. They lowered their heads and said something, And then they jumped up and started playing basketball again. Huh, I thought, I wonder what that was all about. So that evening after Tony went home and Tim and me was together, I said, son, what were you and Tony doing out there at the end of the garage this afternoon? He said, I was playing basketball, Dad. I said, no, I saw that, but I mean when y'all stopped and knelt down, what did you do? He said, Tony asked me a question. I said, what was the question? He said, well, we started taking him to church. You know, his mother and dad don't go to church. I said, yeah, I know. But I said, well, you wanted to take him since he's your neighbor and your friend. So I said, I was not hesitant. We take the boy to church. And he said, yeah, and so he's been hearing what Brother Ben's been talking about salvation, about getting saved every Sunday. And today he told me, he said, Tim, I felt a need today whenever Brother Ben gave that call to come down. I felt a need to go down there and accept Jesus, but I didn't know how to do it. Tim said, oh, Tony, it's a piece of cake. All you got to do is just ask Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you. And he said, he'll do it. He said, it ain't that easy. He said, that's easy. So he said, I just told him this is the way it's done. He said, Dad and I knelt down around the bed. And Dad asked, and I quoted this prayer. And he said, I got saved. So he said, all you got to do is kneel down right here. We'll just kneel over this basketball and ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior. And said, he'll do it. He'll forgive you and he'll save you right there. So he said, that's what we did. So once we got this, that done, we went back to playing basketball. Should it be that simple?
Yes.
It should be that simple for every one of us. We're not, as Cheryl and I talked to this little teenage girl in my office, and she re-acknowledged the fact that she wanted to be saved and she wanted to be delivered. She wanted to be free of all. She wanted to, in other words, when I told this girl, I said, on this earth, you're not playing a game. This game that so many people play will take many of them to hell. And I said, you don't want to die and go to hell. I said, you know, with the scriptures that talks about the rich man, that when he opened his eyes in this flame, he was in torment. And I said, you don't want to go there, do you? She said, no, sir, I do not want to go there. I said, well, you can make sure you don't go there by inviting Jesus into your heart. So she did that. She invited Jesus. It was real simple. Only took me and Cheryl just a few minutes. We led her into the kingdom of God. Well, we got her saved and delivered. And then we and Cheryl, a little later on this week, we needed to run over to Lowe's to get something. We went over there, and there's a nice young man standing there that asked us what we needed. We told him what we were looking for.
Carlos.
And his name was Carlos. And so we went back there, and as we went back there to where the dishwashers and things were at, we were talking about these, and I said, son, I said, before we get started talking about the dishwashers, I've got to ask you about the most important question of your life. He said, what's that? I said, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Guess what his answer was, being Spanish. Guess what do you think his answer was? I'm a Catholic. That's exactly right. I'm a Catholic. There's so many people that are Catholics, you know, that they think they know Jesus. I said, well, have you ever acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? He said, well, no, I don't guess. I said, well, all you got to do is invite Jesus to come into your heart and save you. He said, I just did that whenever you said that.
Wow.
I said, okay, good. I said, now then, let me hear you say it with your mouth. Let me hear you say, Jesus is my Lord. He said, well, I don't think I'm quite ready for that yet. I said, but see, you got to make a commitment.
Yeah.
So we talked to this young boy, and he went out and loaded. We bought a dishwasher, and he brought it out and loaded it in the car for us and everything. And I told him, I said, now, son, you don't want to put this off. I said, you know, you could die any minute. He said, you sound just like my mother.
Oh.
I said, praise God for a good mother. But see, a mother that loves her son, if she knows Jesus, she said, now, mother's a Catholic too, but said she knows Jesus. Well, if mother's a Catholic, she knows Jesus, what's she going to want for her son? She's going to want that boy to know Jesus too, because she knows what's going to happen when he dies or whatever, because if there's anybody you don't want to go to hell, it's your children. You don't want your children to die and go to hell. But let me tell you what, in the kingdom of God, there is no grandchildren, only children. So everybody, just like you and me, in fact, what I would like for you to do today, how many of you want to go to heaven when you die?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to hold up both hands. I want to make sure the Lord don't miss that. When he looks down and says, oh yeah, there's a sermon down there. He's got his hand up. So I want every one of us today, I want you to, if you're really serious and you don't want to die and go to hell, and I'm telling you what, nobody should want to die and go to hell, right? If I told you that it's so simple that all you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved and you will be guaranteed, if you believe that with no doubt in your heart, when you die, you will get to go to heaven. And if you teach that to your children and your children believe that when they die, they'll get to go to heaven.
Amen.
Now then, if you don't teach them that, and you let them make their own decision, where are they going to go?
Hell.
They're going to make the wrong decision. I guarantee you they're going to make the wrong decision. Because the devil will see to it that their minds are blinded. And he'll keep saying, oh, salvation is real. But you got plenty of time. Just wait till next week. He'll do it again next week. Or maybe if you don't, the week after. But you got plenty of time. When?
Today is the day of salvation.
Today is the day of salvation.
Amen.
To those that call on the name of the Lord. Amen. So all we got to do is say, Father, in Jesus' name,
Father, in Jesus' name,
I ask you to come into my heart.
Forgive me of my sins.
Save me.
Save me.
I want to go to heaven.
I'm
tired of listening to the devil. I ain't going to hell because I'm going to take what Jesus paid for and he gave it to me as a free gift. I'm going to be saved right now. I may have been saved already for 50 or 60 years, but I'm going to be saved over again right now. I'm just going to make sure that I know that I know. That I'm a born-again Christian. And I'm on my way to heaven. This little trip, I'm just passing through. But I know after today,
I really know Jesus.
He is my Lord. He's my Savior.
He paid the price for me.
I am saved.
And I ain't ashamed of it.
This week, Lord, I'll tell somebody. Whether it be man or boy or girl or whatever. I'll tell them about you. I promise to tell somebody about Jesus. Because I want them to know what I know. The only thing that's really important is that they know Jesus. That's the only thing that's important. Is anything else important?
No.
In fact, Cheryl, I think it was this morning, or last night sometime, she read to me for one of our congressmen, John McCain. Probably some of you know him, right? He passed away. Yeah, he died last night. But how many of those congressmen are going to die? Every one of them. You know, I'm telling you what, these boys that have, oh my goodness, I think about Scripture. I think about Scripture when the Scripture says the Lord himself says, I gave them time to repent of their sins, their adulteries, their fornication, all these things. They're lying. They're thieving. I give them time, and they would not receive it. They would not receive it. So, they're going to get to go to hell. And he said, because before they go to hell, he said, I'm going to cast your children onto a sick bed, and I'm going to kill your children with death. Is that scary? And that's God talking. Do you want to go to hell?
No.
Do you know that if you don't tell your children, if you don't teach your children about hell, and they make the right, and your neighbors. In fact, let me tell you a quick little story about a lady. At the Baptist church, years ago, on a Wednesday night, we had a Wednesday night prayer meeting, and she said, I want y'all to pray for my husband. He has cancer. Okay. So after church was over, I went over and talked to her. I said, you mean your husband has cancer? She said, yes. He went to the doctor, and he's got cancer. I said, well, I've never seen him at church. I see you every Sunday, but I never see him. I said, is he saved? I don't know. I said, how long y'all been married? She said, 50 years. You've been married to this guy for 50 years, and you don't know whether he's lost or saved. Is there something wrong in this house? It blew me away. I mean, I could not imagine. So I told her, I said, well, you reckon it would be okay if I come down and pray for him? She said, oh, yeah, Thurman, that would be nice. So right after church was over that night, she just lived a block away. I mean, they lived right at the end of the street. I went down there and knocked on the door, and where she didn't, it was about 8:30, I guess. She said, oh, Thurman. I said, well, you said I could come and pray for your husband. She said, well, yeah. But he's already in bed. You know, of course, I thought, well, you know, 8 o'clock or 8:30, whatever. But, you know, I guess if you're sick, you know, you go to bed a lot earlier sometimes. Or when you get old as he was, of course, a lot of times people, when they get older, they just go to bed earlier. So anyway. Anyway, as we. Except for who?
Baron said, except for us.
Oh, except for us. Okay. We stay up. So. Yeah, that's something. Cheryl and I, a lot of times we get up late in the morning, but when you don't go to bed till 4 or 5 in the morning, you got to have some sleep on one end to the other. So, but anyway, we do that a lot. But anyway, I continue on with the story. She said, would you like to come in? And I said, I'll just come down and pray for your husband. She said, well, he's already in bed. I said, would you like to come in and have a cup of hot tea with me? And I said, yeah, sure, I will. So I walked in and sat down at the table. She fixed me a cup of hot tea, and we were drinking the tea, and all of a sudden her husband woke up, and he had a house coat on. He came, oh, he said, Thurman, what are you doing? And I said, well, your wife told me at church tonight you were sick, that you had cancer. Yeah, he said, I got a bad report, but he said, I guess that's just the way it is. You know, you just die and go on. I said, well, I've learned there's some other ways. And I said, you know, I'd really like to pray for you, and I'd like to show you some scripture, some promises of God. I said, first of all, my first question, are you a believer in Jesus Christ? That's the first thing we've got to get established, right?
Right.
Yeah. He said, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I said, well, why do you never go to church? You know, I said, I just never go to church. He said, I was saved in that little Methodist church right across the street from the Baptist church. So he said, oh, time come along in life, and I just quit going. I don't know what happened. He said, I just quit going. When you quit doing something, it gets real easy to keep it up.
Yeah.
Especially when it's something to do with spiritual things. So anyway, he quit going. And so I said, well, the doctor said you're going to die pretty soon, huh? He said, yeah. He says, I ain't got long. I said, let me show you some promises of God. Now, this guy ain't been to church in 20 or 30 years. I sat there with him, and I told him, I said, let me show you something. I turned to Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and I read those scriptures to him. He said, "Do you mind if I read that?" I said, "Sure, here it is." So I handed it to him, and Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Read those, honey.
"Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed."
Amen. He said, "You know, how come I've been in church all my whole life, and when I did go to church, I never heard that?" I said, "Well, I guess the same reason I didn't hear it." But I said, I read it on my own. I sat down and I read the Bible, and I said, that's what it said. Man, he said, "Let me read that again." So he read that two or three times, and he said, "You know, I never heard such thing. I didn't know that. According to that says that Jesus bore my sickness and removed my disease, and I was healed on the cross." Yes. I said, "That's what it says." I said, "Now you see why you're not supposed to go to church. You might learn something." He said, "Yeah, I never seen nothing like this." So we talked about that for a little while, and then I said, "Well, let me show you something here that the Lord also says," and I turned to Matthew 18, 19. I said, "You know, let me ask you a question, sir." I said, "So if I were to take that scripture and I say, Lord, I ask you to repair this man's body, and I rebuke these tumors or whatever it is, and command those things to leave him, go away, and you healed him on the cross." I said, "Can we pray that prayer?" And he said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "What makes you think it'll work?" I said, "Because Matthew 18, 19 says, if two of us on earth agree about anything." He said, "Wait a minute, I mean, I couldn't say that." So I handed him the Bible again, and he read that. Mm-hmm. It did say that. I said, "Huh, what do you think about that?" He said, "How come you can go to church and never hear this kind of stuff?" I said, "Well, maybe you're not going to the right church." You know, I said, "There's some of them out there teaching it, I guarantee, because I said, I read it and I learned it." So anyway, I told him, I said, "How about let me and you pray and believe God will heal you?" His wife's sitting right there at the table drinking tea with me and him. So we confess his sins, we pray the prayer of faith, we break the power of the devil, kick the devils out, and I ask to thank the Lord for healing him and making him whole in Jesus' name, just like we do it right here all the time. I said, "Now all you got to do is believe." He said, "Well, it sure is written clear." He said, "That makes it easy to believe." Now then, how come he could never hear this before? Now all of a sudden he's hearing this. I've gone down there when the power of the Spirit and the Spirit of God is revealing to him the Word of God, and this man is fixing to be healed. Amen. And I prayed, and of course, after that, I left and said goodbye to him and his wife. And two or three weeks later, for some strange reason, she didn't come to church for two or three Wednesday nights. She was there on Sunday, but I never did get to talk to her. But later on, as I went down to their house one Wednesday afternoon after church, I thought, I don't know why I hadn't been able to talk to her, but I know she's there. But anyway, I went down to the house, and when I got there, I said, "Come to see your husband." Oh, she said, "He hadn't come in yet. He's still out driving that bulldozer." I said, "He's working, huh?" She said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Boy, isn't it wonderful what God did for your husband?" She said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Your husband was healed by Jesus." She said, "Thurman, don't you think for a minute that I'm going to believe that just because you came down and prayed over my husband that he's healed? Don't you know God don't do those kind of things no more?" She was sitting right there and heard every word I said. Did she believe anything?
No.
Did he believe it?
Yeah.
That old man lived about 7 or 8 or 10 more years before he finally died. He was supposed to die, but he didn't die because a man that believes that these promises of God are real and that they'll work for salvation, healing, and deliverance, will go and give his life and his time to spend God with these men and women and watch God show up to do his work.
Amen.
And he'll do it. And in this little church, if there's anything we know he does heal.
Amen.
And we, after that little thing a while ago we did, how many of you know he saves us?
Amen.
How many of you are saved now?
Amen.
Amen. Guarantee I'm saved. And I'm, if there's anything I don't want to miss, it's knowing Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Wow. Isn't God awesome? He is awesome. Now then, when I think about these promises that we talk about, I want you to think about this promise of Mark 11, 23 and 24. Look at Mark 11, 23 and 24. I want Cheryl to read those two verses.
For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Okay, I want every one of you that will believe with me to pray and believe that right now. We'll add everybody in on this, everybody, Rick, me, you, everybody, that as of right now, that every one of us our sin is gone, our sickness is removed, Jesus bore our sickness, and removed our disease
on the cross,
2,000 years ago. So we're all healed and made whole right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. Thank you, Lord, that everybody in here is healed. Now then, we don't know how long it's going to take for the manifestation, but we're going to believe it's going to be quick. I believe it's going to be quick. Lord, thank you for restoring my eyes. I thank you that I have 20/10 vision. I can see up close, far away, night and day in Jesus' name. I thank you that everything works perfect. Now then, Lord, I know that I know those mighty principles are conditional. They really are. They're conditional because you said in your word there that if we speak to the mountain or whatever, and it will obey us, but we also know that right after that verse, the next verse clearly says that if we don't forgive, ever do what? Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Yeah,
Mark 11:23 was the first part, and then okay. Mark 11:24.
Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
In other words, we shall have them pretty quick.
Yeah,
we're going to believe with my granddaughter that time when I used that verse, she showed up instantly. And if he hadn't showed up instantly, I would have killed her.
Yeah.
But he showed up. So, but then he says, 25 and 26.
And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses.
Now then, if you have any kind of grudge against anybody for anything, what do you need to do? You need to forgive. You need to make sure that you hold no grudges against anybody for anything. Because the way I hear that scripture written, if I don't forgive, he ain't going to forgive me.
Right.
Is that what he said?
Yes.
And I want to be forgiven, don't you?
Yes.
Because I want my prayers answered.
Yes.
Now, one of the reasons we don't get our prayers answered, the very first week we started this little episode, the very first thing that everybody in here was in agreement on, that the reason we don't see more prayers answered than we do is what? Unforgiveness. No, did I say unforgiveness? No, it wasn't unforgiveness.
Unbelief.
It was unbelief, yes, it was unbelief. Unbelief of the promises of God. Just think. The unbelief, that story I just told you about that man and woman. A man hadn't been to church in years. In years he'd not been to church. And I went down there and presented the gospel to him, the healing gospel. Probably spent 2 hours with him, talking to him about these wonderful, awesome promises. And he believed them. When we remitted his sins and prayed the prayer of faith for him, that man believed God because that man got healed. But his wife, which went to church every Sunday, which never heard anything about healing, never, whenever when we prayed, she didn't believe at all. And then after she saw her husband healed, a month later when he's out driving a bulldozer.
Wow.
That's amazing. I stand so amazed at God and how that the Holy Spirit reveals things to different people. And if he don't reveal those things, just like that one young girl, she believed that the scripture was written by man. But let me tell you what, scripture was written by man. The Holy Spirit don't write it down. Man writes it down. But man wrote down what he was moved to put down by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So when the Spirit of God reveals to you something, you sit down and write it down. And so that's what happened when somewhere in the neighborhood of, how many men was there, 50? I forget how many there were. I think there was about 50 men wrote the Bible. I used to know that. I don't know why. I forgot. But anyway, man sits down and writes scripture out as he's moved on by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can know everything. And as he knows it, so if you will stay on his doorstep and ask him to bless you with your children, if you will stay with it, I know one of the things that really soaked in on me, that time when Dave, after he got healed, we went for 20 months working on getting Dave healed. 20 months. Do you know that's a long time? 20 months. Of course, he'd been sick, for 40 years. So, another 20 months, I guess, ain't going to be no big deal. But, when we were trying to get Dave healed, you think about how long 20 months is. It's a long time. But he finally showed up, and after he got healed, when Dave, just like me, when he got healed, he really didn't even know what he had done to get healed. He did not know. So he said, Thurman, what did I do? How come it took this time? What's going on? I said, Dave, I don't know. You just have to ask God. I don't know why it took 20 months to heal you. So he went to the Lord and began to petition the Lord, and the Lord told him that, he and Dave had no intimacy. No intimacy. And you might stop and think about it in your own life. Well, I've been praying and I'm not getting any answer to my prayers. And you might think, well, how much time have you been spending with the Lord? And you stop and think, well, I haven't done much. Talking to the Lord at all. And he said, that's why you don't get healed, because I need some intimate time with you. And he said, Lord, if that's the case, why did you heal me at all? He said, because you were persistent. In other words, you were staying with it. You were continuing to confess my word. And isn't it strange how God works? I want Cheryl to read a scripture that When I finally got revelation on this scripture, it blew my socks off. It's in Deuteronomy 28:47. I want Cheryl to read that scripture, and I want you to see what that scripture says. Listen to it real close. Deuteronomy 28:47.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of a heart for the abundance of all things. Next.
Read on.
Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
I don't know about you, but most people I know don't believe that scripture really means what it says. I mean, that scripture will scare your socks off. If you really thought for a second, as powerful as God is, that he could do that, and you're not spending time with him, or you're not praising him, I believe I would find time for God.
Amen.
Wouldn't you? I mean, read that scripture. Read that scripture one more time. Let that soak in.
Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee.
Wow. Now then, let's read the one we like to read. Let's read verses 1 through 14. And on the blessings. Now, this is what God, if you will obey him and bless him and do what he says and read his word and teach your children his word and become the awesome man of God that he wants you to be, if you will do that, then you're going to get to see what he promised to give you in Deuteronomy 1.
28:1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Amen.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thine kine, and the flocks of thy sheep.
In other words, your children are going to be so blessed that they're going to be such fantastic children. They're going to be so smart. They're going to know everything. It's going to be amazing how smart your children are if you will serve God and do what he says. I mean, if you want smart, intelligent, beautiful, healthy children, all you got to do what God told you to do. And what did he say? He'd bless your children.
Amen.
Is that right?
Amen.
Okay, read on.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways.
Do we have to be afraid of anything?
No.
No, not even the big boys. I mean, he's going to take care of the big boys, you know. Thank goodness.
The Lord shall command the blessings upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou hast setteth thy hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee.
Yeah.
And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them.
Let me run something by you right quick right there. The last few weeks, there's been a couple, and she's in the hospital, and they came out here and they needed $300 to pay on their apartment. I said, where do you go to church? They said, Gateway. I said, well, go to Gateway. He said, we went to Gateway, and Gateway wouldn't give us any, wouldn't help us.
North Richland Hills.
North, the one in North Richland Hills. They wouldn't help them. Okay. Yeah, they had done something wrong, hadn't done something right, so they couldn't help them. They were not yet official. So I thought, okay. So I said, how much you need? They said, well, we need $300. So I told them, okay, I'd give them $400. So I give them $400. The next week, the man and the son came back and said they needed 200 more. Okay, I give them 400 more. I told them, I said, you know, this is not my responsibility. You're going to Gateway. You need to get blessed from Gateway. Yeah. And then I got to thinking, you know, God says give, and it'll be given to you. Absolutely. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm trying to make this thing work out like the world, and I've gotten completely away from you. So I'm going to give this man money. And two more times, I gave him money, and I said, okay, Lord, I've helped this couple. You know what they're doing. You know what their problem is. You know why they're sick. You know why the wife's in the hospital. You know why they're doing what they're doing. I'm just here to be a giver. I'm going to give because you told me to give, and it should be given unto me. So I'm going to give, and that's what I've been doing, and I've been giving this couple. But I did tell them the last week when they come and needed 200 more, I said, okay, this is the last time. You're going to have to get your money from Gateway. If you go to church at Gateway, you're going to have to get paid at Gateway. Don't you think that's right?
Yes.
Okay, but I helped them. But I just went back to that old thought. Okay, Lord, they're your children. And how much of the money he gives me is mine?
Zero.
None of it. It's all his, right? Can he do with it what he wants to?
Yes.
And if he says give, and it should be given to you, and if I give it to him, guess what he's going to do? He's going to give us something to pay the bill. Yeah, always does. I've seen this happen so many times. And when I learned this scripture, Luke 6:38. In fact, I want Cheryl to read that Luke 6:38. I could quote it, but I want her to read it, Luke 6:38, and see what that says.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
Okay, now stop and meditate on what that just said. What did that say? Give, and it shall be given to you. Is that what he said? So if he said and told me to give his money to this church, to somebody, and I just give it to him, what is he going to do? He's going to give some back to me to pay the bills. Am I going to be short? Never. I have never been short. And I think about the times that God has blessed me here when I give people things. Every time I let the flesh get in the way, there's always an issue. Because, you know, the flesh will work on you. Have you all noticed that?
Yeah.
This beast, that's why I call it my beast. I have one and you have one. And your beast is going to keep you from giving, will keep you from blessing. Because he don't want you to be blessed. And he'll work on your beast. But anyway, praise God.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again.
Wouldn't it be something?
Yep.
Okay, I don't know about you, but I would wish that, I would pray that the day would come when the Lord would bless this church with enough money that we had no limitations of what we wanted to do for people. You know, I mean, what would you do if God just blessed you with $1 million? I mean, what would you do? What would you, in other words, yeah, let me ask you a question. Yeah, if God did bless us with something, and we were blessed where that we could just have, in fact, as I was listening to Robert over at Gateway the other night, you would think they were like this, because I believe he said in missions last year they gave like $40 million or something.
Wow.
Isn't that what he said? Anybody hear that?
Yeah,
But it was a huge amount of money. I mean, I just think, wow. Of course, I've never been blessed with that much money, but I'm thinking, Lord, if you were to bless this little church with an unlimited amount of money, how would I use it for your glory? Well, let me tell you, I definitely want his guidance and direction, because if he was blessing me with money, I'd want to make sure that I give it where he wanted me to give it. I guarantee. Y'all remember the guy that was here a couple of years ago that was giving to one of the other churches money, and he had a problem with his ankle? And he could not get healed. And the Lord said, and we prayed. I prayed with him over that. And we asked the Lord, what was the problem? And the Lord told us that he was giving to Presbyterian or something, one of the churches that was helping Hamas. And they were killing Jews with that money. And he said, you know, I'm not going to bless you as long as you're giving that money to that organization. So he repented, and we prayed for him, and he stopped that, and within a day or two, his ankle was healed. Yeah. How many of y'all remember that story? He come up and gave that story himself, didn't he?
Yeah,
it is. You see, is it important that you be careful where you give?
Yeah.
Yes, give. Just can't, unless God directs you, don't just give it to anybody, because you might say, you always want to make sure, Lord, where do I put this money? Who do I give it to? Because if there's anything I do, I don't want to give money to kill Jews. I want to bless the Jew. I don't want to kill them. I want to bless them. Because God says that whoever curses the Jew, he will be cursed. Whoever blesses the Jew, he will be blessed. So anyway, wow. Okay, so we realized a few weeks ago that if we want to get our prayers answered, first of all, we got to have belief, right? We got to know the Word of God. So how in the world are you going to know the Word of God if you don't get it down and read it and study it? That's the only way. I did that for 15 years. Virtually every night, every day, I read the Bible to my children, my wife, my daughter, my son, for 15 years, and it worked. They learned a whole lot more than I did. But I studied God's Word, and that, I'm telling you, that's where we miss it. We want to study it, read it, listen to it, meditate on it, and then do what it says. And if you do, you're going to be blessed. Amen?
Amen.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for every one of these people that recommitted their life to you tonight, Lord. I thank everybody here who invited you to come into their heart and be their Lord and Savior. And Lord, we are so thankful that you're there, that you forgive us. And we confess with our mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in our heart that the Father raised him from the dead for me and for you and for each one of you. Lord, we thank you that we call on the name of Jesus and we are saved and we're on our way to heaven. We know we're just passing through and we definitely ain't going to be left here behind. We're going to be with you. We're going to be sons of God and we're going to walk in obedience to your word and we're going to be blessed. Because we're going to be sons and daughters of God. Lord, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.